The Bible reading this morning is from Psalm 1. Blessed are those who do not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on his law day and night. They are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will be destroyed.
Thank you very much for reading that. And it's a pleasure to be here this morning and be able to open up the Word of God with you. I'm still shocked that we're in a new year, 2023. It's taking a bit for me to get my head around that, but that's all right. We're in a new year nonetheless. But I wonder, as last year came to an end, did it turn out like you had hoped? Perhaps for some of you, you had a great year and everything you wanted to accomplish was being able to be done. Perhaps 2022 for you was a year of great health, of pushing deeper into relationships, of a productive and good work-life balance, a time of being able to do all the holidays that you've been wanting to do but COVID had gotten in the way for so long. And perhaps it was a time of you strengthening your relationship with God. Perhaps that was you. However, if you're a bit like me, then perhaps as the year came to a close, you've had the chance to look back on the year that was, and maybe it didn't go quite as well as you had hoped. Perhaps there were struggles that you had throughout the year. Perhaps there was mental health challenges. Perhaps you weren't able to fulfill all the goals that you had set January last year, or relationships suffered, and you wondered, where was God throughout the year? You know, for me, I must admit that as the seconds counted down towards midnight, as my wife and I were sitting at home with the TV on about to watch the fireworks, as those fireworks went off, I paused for a moment. And I guess there was a moment of sadness for me as I reflected on the fact that not everything I had hoped would happen in 2022 came to pass. In some ways, I guess there was a little bit of me that felt a little bit disappointed by God. Perhaps you had that experience as well. Well, this morning I want to share with you a passage that over the last few years, this time every year, that I've pulled out this passage and I've spent time reflecting upon it. And it's been something that has helped focus me for the year ahead. And so it's a passage I continue to use as I hope that God will direct my steps throughout the year. And as I push deeper into relationship with him. For all of you, it shouldn't be a surprise to hear that life is a journey. Life's not this motionless, static thing that you've got no say over what happens. You see, life's a journey as you take those very first breath. As most of you meet these people who you call mum and dad, and you take in all the information around and try and make sense of it. Life's a journey as you then go to school, and for many of us into university, and you choose a career. Life's a journey as you begin to look for love, and for many people, they marry and then have to find out how to live with somebody else and learn to compromise. Life's a journey as we go through the various joys, but also the various struggles that life throws at us. And life's a journey as we learn to work through health challenges, and for many of us as we then begin to get older and realize that this part of our journey will come to an end sometime soon. Life is a journey. And the passage that we're looking at today looks at this journey of life and provides us with really two choices of journeys or paths that we can take. Whilst on the surface all our lives look very different from each other, the core of it, the heart of our journeys remain the same. There might be some detours along the way, but we still have the choice as to where our focus for this journey will be and what our destination will be. And so the question we need to ask ourselves today is, well, what journey are we on? And as I continue into this new year, how will this shape my prayers? Anyway, let's pray before we look in this passage. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that these words are alive and they do speak to us, and we ask that you will speak to us this morning. Open up our hearts and minds to hear what you want to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's often easy for us to think that the book of Psalms is this collection of songs or poems just all shoved in together in some sort of haphazard order. Often we read it like that. We just pick a random psalm, and there's nothing wrong in doing that. But the book of the Psalter is quite this structured book, and it can be seen so easily with the very first psalm, the one psalm to open up this whole book of 150 psalms. And it opens up by saying a beautiful word. It says, blessed. As we look at the Psalter, the very first word of the very first psalm tells us the whole point of this book, and indeed the whole Bible for us, that it is all about blessings. It tells us what it means to be blessed and how we can be blessed. And for those of you who've read the Psalms, I'm sure you've walked away from it numerous times feeling exactly that. You've felt blessed in your engagement with these Psalms. And this Psalm in particular is about telling us about two journeys of life. One that's full of blessing that comes through a distinctive lifestyle in following after our Creator, God. And then the other life that lacks the blessing that comes from God in living the worldly life. You know, as it contrasts these two different lifestyles, it calls out the question, well, where is your life headed? And are you living that distinctive life? And so let's look at these two paths and the effects of those paths. It starts off in verse 1 by saying this about the righteous person. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. You know, this psalm says that firstly, if you want to be that blessed person, the person connected to God, then there are some things that you need to avoid in life. Now, that should be no surprise to you that there's things we should avoid in life because of science, and people tell us all the time that there are things bad for us. As we look at this, it sort of provides us the three sort of paralleling statements. It talks about someone who walks, who sits, and who stands. It tries to capture broadly the entirety of who we are and the things that we do. And what does it say about what we've got to avoid? It says we must avoid walking in step with the wicked. We must avoid sharing the path of sinners. I mean, we must avoid sitting with scorners. You know, it's saying that we must not take the steps and the actions that they do in life, nor value the things that they value, or seek their wisdom and advice for our own lives. Basically, it's saying that the person that wants to be on the path of blessing needs to make choices to be outwardly distinctive and needs to set themselves apart from those that have chosen the other path. We need to look different from the world. Otherwise, we become just like the world. So this passage proclaims. But here's the catch with it, you see. Don't think for a moment that we should stay away from non-Christians and live a solitary life. Indeed, there are people that have tried to do that, but that's not what this passage is saying at all. You see, we are called to be in the world, but not of the world. We have the Great Commission, which tells us to go out into the world making disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so we've got to be out there, building relationships with non-Christians, inviting them into our homes and into our lives. We must be going out in the parts of our community where they live and they socialize. But this passage proclaims that if we start to become like them, if we start taking on board their wisdom for ourselves, if we start to follow their path and start to scorn at the things that they scorn at, we begin to lose our distinctiveness as followers of the one who created us. And so it calls us to be careful. And how can we practically take up this mission in our world and be with them but not become them? Well, I'm sure you can think of numerous ways you can do that practically. You know, there's many times that I've gone out with friends for a drink and they might drink excessively, but I choose not to. I choose to be restrained in my drinking. You know, whilst, you know, the world tells us to, you know, try before you buy, have sex before marriage. But, you know, I chose to wait. We need to be distinctive and choose to wait and live life how God intends. When our churches go and get involved in various community activities, when we do outreach in schools and in parks, wherever it may be, when our kids play in soccer teams, we are putting ourselves in situations where we are in the community, but yet we have that opportunity to remain distinctive. But the moment that we have sex outside of marriage, the moment we get drunk, the moment we give in to sledging on the soccer field is the moment that we so easily lose our distinctiveness. And we've got to wonder whether they're stepping over to their path. And so each year in January, as I think about the year ahead and what goals I may have for the year, and as I look at this passage, I seek to make commitments again afresh towards living a distinctive life and of being in this world but not of the world. And the more I take steps in that way, the more I experience the blessing of being in a relationship with our Creator God and our Savior. And so in living this blessed path and being distinctive, we are told to avoid things that aren't good for us. But you know, the passage just doesn't leave us there with this list of negative things that we've got to avoid. It provides us with a list then of things we should value, which makes us distinctive. And it says this in verse 2. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. You know, this passage talks about two key characteristics of the person that chooses to live this path of blessing. You know, firstly, it talks about the things that we delight in. And then secondly, it talks about those things that preoccupy our minds. It urges us to think about the things that stimulate our minds and our hearts and says that our desires should be in the word and instructions of our God. You know, as Christians, we often say to ourselves that we should read our Bibles, that we must read our Bibles. And often when we don't read them enough, we feel this burden of guilt on us. We look at often at it as this big obligation and a commandment. And I must admit, for me, many times throughout my journey, it has felt like that. But you know, this passage doesn't say that you should read your Bible. It doesn't say that you have to. There's no command here whatsoever, but here is the ever so important difference. What it says is that the blessed person who's one who delights in it. The place of the Word of God and His instructions on our life comes out of this heart and this desire, not from a command that we must follow. You know, it's built upon our minds being stimulated to get stuck into the Word of God. Like an addict who craves his next fix, in similar way, we are called to have a heart and a mind that craves the Word of God. And I want to say that when we begin to desire and delight in the Word of God, and when God's words begin to preoccupy our minds more, rather than shopping or gossip or work or even our hobbies, whatever other things may want to substitute your mind, when we instead become preoccupied with God and His Word, then no longer do we see His reading His Word as something that we should do or we must do, but instead it becomes a very part of who we are and what we strive for each and every day. Just think about those people that you would call diehard footy fans. I must admit that I'm not a footy fan at all, so please forgive me for that. But I know those types of people who have a great passion for their favourite NRL team. And everything they do, everything they say, all is all about their devotion to that team. You know, they buy the jersey. They proudly hang their team flag, particularly if they make it into the grand final. They go to every game that they are able to, and they do all this so that they can proudly shout the name of their team, proudly so they can show their devotion to their team. Perhaps that's you. You know, if someone were to try and tell them they had to go for another team, that's not going to go well, that conversation, is it? They will not change their allegiance so easily. But see, when they choose a team to delight in, when they choose a team to give their allegiance to, it so easily invades their entire life and who they are. I am a wanderer. I am an Eels supporter, perhaps. You know, for some time I had this tape playing in my mind. And this tape would say over and over again, Chris, you need to read your Bible more. Chris, you need to pray more. Chris, you need to do better. And it would go on and on in my minds. And I wonder if anyone else here would have similar tapes playing their minds at times. A tape that only brings about guilt. Well, one of the reasons I love reflecting upon this passage at the beginning of every year is the fact that I think this passage for me encourages me to stop playing that tape in my mind, the tape that seeks to bring about guilt, but instead encourages me to play a different tape. A tape which asks me to help God to delight in His Word more. And I've noticed that when I ask God to help me to delight in His Word more, then I come to His Word with a completely different attitude. I come to it because I want to, because my heart is in it. God changes my heart through playing a different tape. And that's one prayer I continue to pray frequently throughout the year. God, help me to delight in your word more. Help me to give my passion and my allegiance over to you, God. So this year I encourage you to ask God to help you to delight in his word more. May our prayers this year be shaped around our delight in the Lord and in his word. Well, you know, so many people in our society like the idea of karma. You know, the idea that if you do good to someone, then good will be repaid to you. Or if you do bad to someone, then you're going to get some bad back to you. You know, there's something that people love about in that if you get hurt or wronged, then sucked in, they're going to get something back at them. Now, I completely disagree with the idea of karma, but there is something that people find appealing in that. And as we look at Psalm chapter 1, I think whilst it disagrees with karma, it does proclaim that if you follow this path or journey as described in verse 1 and 2, then there is a good benefit that will come out of that. It proclaims this in verse 3. It says that the righteous is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. You know, this passage proclaims that the person who follows this path of blessing is like this luscious, healthy fruit tree. You know, it's a tree planted by a river. It's planted in ground that is continuously being watered and nourished. It's in rich ground. It's in ground which is ideal to produce the best kind of tree with the best kind of growth to produce the best kind of fruit. And so just like a tree requires water in order to flourish and thrive, this passage proclaims that we too need the scriptures in order to enjoy fruitful and abundant lives. You see, the more we stay planted in that fertile, irrigated ground, the more we will grow and we will bear fruit. A few years ago, I was reading a devotional on this passage, and I really liked what Pastor Bob Coy from Calvary Chapel in the USA said about this passage. He said, trees were made to know water, and we were made to know God's word. When either is deprived of their natural need, they fall way short of what they were intended to be and do. They wither and wilt. Their branches become bare, They provide no shade for the weary and have no fruit to offer others. But as they begin to drink their intended life source, their roots become sturdy and secure. Their boughs and branches grow long and strong until fruit. The natural tree is truly a picture of the spiritual person. Our fruitfulness depends upon our being rooted in the Word. Is that not a good picture of the tree that's being described here in Psalm 1? I don't know about you, but that is the picture that I want for my life and my relationship with God. I want that idea of blessedness. I want that picture of that deep nourishing and growth. I want that picture of a really strong connection to our Creator God and our Savior Jesus. What about you? Is that the picture that you want for your life and for those around you? And I wonder, what can you do to encourage that growth in your own life this year? And how might your prayers this year reflect that desire for yourself? Now, over the last several years, it's been no surprise that many of us have had our fair share of struggles, particularly with COVID, but we've also, many of us have had other things going on as well. The reality is that in one time or another throughout life, we go through times of great pain. And as we reflect on the first few verses of chapter 1, we can so easily think that in times of great pain and suffering that we've missed out on God's blessing and that we're no longer close to God. However, then we read verse 3, and it brings us back to the reality, and this is certainly where the illustration really departs from the idea of karma. It says this: that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. You know, our world goes through seasons. We're not getting much of a summer, but we have seasons. But like, our life also goes through seasons. We all love that great season of joy, of happiness, of prosperity, so to speak. But as we journey through life, we begin to realize that there are also seasons of pain and of suffering, of times where in many ways we feel so far from God. But you know, this passage proclaims that if we're on that path of blessing, that we'll still go through the various seasons of life. Unfortunately, following God does not give us some sort of immunity to difficult seasons. I wish it did, but it doesn't. But notice here in this passage, the tree described doesn't change what it is depending on whether it's in a great season of fruit or not. In fact, in times where our lives appear to be displaying no fruit at all, in times where perhaps we're experiencing the most pain and where we struggle to feel the presence of God in our lives, the fact still remains that we are still that blessed person who is like a tree planted by streams of water. I don't know about you, but I really want to be a tree that is always in fruit. I want to completely be on fire for God always. I always want to be hearing His voice with great clarity. I want to devote myself to Him always and always see incredible results for all the work that I put in for His namesake. But just like an apple tree or an orange tree cannot always remain in fruit, we too will go through seasons. But I want to say that those seasons only seek to make us stronger and will seek to bring about a greater harvest of fruit than we experienced before. And why is that? Because we are still that tree planted by streams of water. You see, there is an amazing declaration in this passage that despite how long our seasons are, and boy, don't they feel long sometimes, if we stay planted in the right soil, then we will not wither away. If we continue to remain connected to God through both the good and the bad times, then He will sustain us through all that life throws at us. And I'm so thankful for that. Therefore, we need to ensure that we maintain our spiritual lives, despite how productive we may feel. And so as I look at all that, I'm left with the question, well, has my life been producing fruit? Is there evidence of life, the path that I've been walking? You know, perhaps that's something you reflected upon as those fireworks went off recently, or as you think about the year ahead. What fruit does my life show of the path that I am walking? Now, of course, we will not be perfect in this life. But the important thing is that we keep asking ourselves, well, what will it take for my life to change? What do I need to give up? What do I need to change in my heart and in my mind? Because the picture of this psalm paints for those that are on that path of blessing, deeply rooted and connected and nourished by the Creator. It sounds like this beautiful picture of life, and I want more of that this year. Well, as we continue on in Psalm chapter 1, at verse 4, I think there becomes quite a bit of a change as it departs from the life of the righteous and instead focuses on the path of the wicked. It says this in verse 4. Not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. You know, this passage proclaims that if you don't follow that path of blessing connected to the Creator, then you follow this sort of disease-like path. You know, it eats away the goodness within you and leaves you like chaff. Now, chaff is farming terminology if you're not aware of it. You see, when you get a crop of wheat or corn, there are, of course, parts of that wheat or corn that are useful and good and nourishing, but there are parts of that that are useless. The chaff is that useless part that is good for nothing. You know, whenever you go through the process of winnowing or threshing the wheat and the corn to separate the good and the bad, the good seed would drop to the bottom, whereas the chaff, the useless parts, would just get separated away and discarded. You know, if you've ever been out to a farm and you've picked some wheat, and when you rub it into your hands, when you take your hand away and the breeze comes, you'll see the chaff just fly away, and you're left with the grain. What is left is the useful stuff. And so this passage proclaims that the wicked are like those that are blown away in the wind. Every direction, not really amounting to much at all. They completely lack substance and they lack goodness. And the life they live, if they think it is a good life, then it's just an illusion. You see, there's only so long that we can live a life being grounded in ourselves. Because you and I were created to be connected into the one who gives life. We were created to be connected to the giver of life. We're created to be like those lush trees in verse 3, not that chaff that with the slightest of wind, it blows them away. Now, you know, I read this description of the wicked or ungodly, and we've got to be honest that we see that description in so many people. Some desire money, and for what reason? So they can desire a little bit more and get shinier and fancier stuff. So many people pursue after happiness, even if it means disregarding others who might be in need. Many don't listen to the comments or advice of others because pride gets in the way. You know, they gossip because, well, it's fun and perhaps it takes the attention away from us. They sleep around, they drink too much, sometimes they do drugs, whatever it might be. And why do they do that? Because it gives them a moment of excitement, a moment of perceived happiness. And whilst I think it's easy for you and I to polarize people who choose that lifestyle, the issue is that we can think so easily that we aren't like them at all, and therefore we don't examine ourselves as much as we should. But the reality is that at times we do walk a path that looks a little bit similar to that. And therefore, we can take on characteristics of the ungodly. And so we always need to ask ourselves, God, what are the worthless parts of me? What are the parts of me that are like chaff, that serve no useful purpose in producing fruit? You know, because like there's a cause and effect for living the blessed life, there's also a cause and effect for living that ungodly life. And verse 5 proclaims this. It says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. You see, following the path of the ungodly leaves us without this ability to stand before God, our Creator, in heaven, whilst the righteous are able to stand there before God with a healthy heart and mind in worship of the one who gave us a choice. in worship of the one who gives life. And so I guess that as I finish up now, we are left with the challenge. What path will we take? What person do we want to be like? Do we want to live that distinctive life and be the one who delights in God's words and his instructions and who stays away from the things that seek to corrupt us? Or do we want to be the one that results in us being tossed around the wind, not connected to the one who gives life and sustains? For me, the choice is clear, and perhaps for you the choice is also clear. But as you continue on this year, I ask you, what steps will you make to ensure that you continue on that path of blessing, both in season and out? And as the year goes on, how will your prayers and your relationship with God change? You know, may this year be measured by how close we drew to God, not by whether we increased our fitness or lost a couple of kilos. You see, despite what disappointments I may have had over the last year, and no matter what happens throughout the next year, I hope I can say that indeed I have continued to work to be like that person who is planted by streams of water, because I've continued to remain connected to the God that gives life and blessing and guides us in all we do. So how will you pray this year, and what steps will you take in this journey? Let's pray. Father God, Creator, we thank you so much that you call us to you in love, that you offer out your hand of forgiveness over and over again. Thank you, God, that you are a generous God and you want to bless us. You want to sustain us. Help us to know your presence this year, Father, whether we are in season or not. Help us to delight in your word more, God. Change our hearts so we desire to commune with you, to hear from you, to speak with you. Continue to shape us into the people that you call us to be. We are your servants, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.